Sure, the guy's dying in the street. But, you know, we've got free weed and meth, and, I mean, he can die stoned. Isn't that what Washington State's about? Isn't that Seattle spirit?
What we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
The most transparent administration in our state's history.
Based on ideology rather than the facts.
Well, I'm a doodler.
I want to get to the political news here, but I want to give you just a brief sketch. I had a meeting up today on Capitol Hill, so I decided to go through a place I used to live. I used to live on around 21st and Yesler. I just decided to just drive through the old neighborhood. In a period of 10 minutes, I saw a shirtless and clearly mentally ill man blocking the left turn lane on Dearborn, headed across MLK, blocking the left turn lane. He was sunburned and sore ridden and in desperate trouble. And I was no better than anybody else. I didn't stop and help. And drove further up and went eventually over to East Madison, where in a period of 10 minutes, I observed two people who were clearly clinically insane. Both of them batting away demons. One of them trying to kick away demons, non-existent demons, periodically running, sprinting down the sidewalk. I thought he was going to tackle a lady. I really did. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take this guy down. I mean, and he was a skinny guy, malnourished. And I'm watching him 10 minutes. There was a guy who came by, big guy. And he moved with the grace of an athlete. You know, when you've been around sports a long time, you can kind of tell. People kind of have the bearing of an athlete. And this guy moved very much like that, like an athlete. But he was pacing up and down. He was wearing sweatpants and a heavy, heavy coat. And he was profusely sweating. And there's no way this guy was going to live through the day. Dehydrated. I talked to an ambulance crew. Is there anything we can do? They said, no, we see this all the time, man. I know the guy's not looking good. I talked to a police officer, and he said, I keep my eye on him. And it took me forever to finally get this guy to allow me to do something for him. I thought he was going to hit me, and he was a big man. And to the Seattle voters, you guys are brutal. Sorry, you're brutal. I'm going to tell you a fact, and I don't mean to be rude to you. I guess I'm being a little judgy, right? If that human being was a cocker spaniel outside of Trader Joe's, all you all would have been out there weeping and tearing at your pearls and pouring bowls of water. But, hey, we're spending money. Hey, there's tiny houses. You know, we can't go around committing people against their will. Yeah, you can. But don't worry. The straws are gone from Starbucks. So at least we got that. Reason.com dug into this. Right now, at Starbucks, folks go in and they top their cold drinks with 3.23 grams or 3.55 grams of plastic product. With the new lids, it's it now goes up to 3.55 to 4.11 grams. The 3.23 size is gone. So at best, it's a break-even scenario. It's more likely that they're going to be using more plastic. But don't worry. Starbucks says those lids are recyclable. And we all know in Seattle, no plastic ends up on the ground. You've heard Sideshow Bob Ferguson out making a big deal about doing something. I don't have a heck of a lot of problem with what Sideshow Bob is doing here. That is, he's gone to some fast food organizations, and they have what is sort of an internal non-compete, you know? But Sideshow Bob, of course, he's never good enough for good enough. He's gone to Arby's, he's gone to some other stores and said, look, you guys are franchises. Pay attention to what I'm saying, because there's a lot here. You guys are franchises. So you got Bob owns an Arby's, and Elizabeth owns an Arby's. Bob and Elizabeth agreed not to poach each other's employees. So in other words, Bob can't go and say, hey, I know you're working for Elizabeth, but you are a really good Arby's employee. I'll pay you more money if you come to my Arby's. That's been stricken. They're not allowed to do that. They signed these mutual agreements. So Ferguson gets in, and he shuts that down. He threatens to sue him. Look, I think people should be able to switch jobs. I don't like non-competes. I've signed them, and I've had other people sign them. I don't like them, and they're hard to enforce. But at the fast food level, it's absurd. that people can't, you know, can't, of course, go and see if they can earn money elsewhere. So you hear Bob out talking about this.
Most employees have no idea these no-poach agreements exist that limit their ability to take their skill to another Arby's.
Right, so we've sort of explained that. But as Bob is being all sexy, suing Trump left and right, and he's getting that teen pop star treatment by the stranger again, his Sideshow Bob and the media. They love Sideshow Bob. Can I just point something out, which is the brutal hypocrisy here? You know who else isn't allowed to ply their wares? You know who else isn't allowed to go look for a work elsewhere? Someone who would like to work in a non-union shop. Someone who'd like to say, you know what? I think I can do better for myself as a teacher, negotiating on my own, than being part of this forced union. And by the way, unions are not required to negotiate on behalf of non-union members. They're not. Employers can set that arrangement up where they have one negotiation. Employers can do that, but there's no law that says they have to do that. Union members don't get to do this. Sideshow Bob has no problem with that. Secondly, it's Sideshow Bob and his ilk who pretended that Arby's are not franchises and that Subways are not franchises. When they wanted to control the scheduling and the minimum wage, etc., those are small businesses. But no, Sideshow Bob at that point said, no, this is one company, one franchise. And no one in the media here gets this comparison. So Sideshow Bob gets to go out and be Mr. Sexy Sideshow Bob. I want to give a huge shout out to a guy who's been very faithful to the show, and he is becoming quite an activist. We call him the infamous Joe K. You want to know what he did? He showed up. As Glenn Morgan likes to say, the future belongs to those who show up. And Joe K, he decided to show up. He was unhappy and outraged that the so-called Seattle Ethics Department, the Seattle City Council, decided that it was perfectly okay for the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant to use city property to print campaign signs. So they ruled, yeah, that's fine. That's good. It's good use of taxpayer dollars. So Joe K took his own time. He showed up. He went down and he confronted this.
Basically, what you want to do is you want to dismiss this, and then you want to say every time there's an issue before that could go to referendum, the government bench can stack the debate before that initiative is forced to referendum with these kind of signs.
No,
because
what?
This
is the ethics department arguing with citizen Joe K. And he talked about the excessive use of these resources by the council.
The use of resources, you know, whether it was excessive, and I am persuaded that that is really the province of the council president. And I do...
Oh, the ethics guy.
I think we are not really talking about making a decision based on the content of someone's speech, nor should we be.
Yes, you should be. It's not... the job of I wanna, or the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant to use taxpayer money to promote 15 now. Because guess what? The citizens don't all agree on that. They didn't agree on the head tax. So I want to give a massive shout out to the mighty and infamous Joe K for showing up and fighting back on this. I'm going to put his entire speech up, the entire portion, where he was in front of the council, up on the Facebook page. Because as Glenn Morgan says, the future, she belonged to those who show up. Thank you for showing up, Joe K. We need more of that. Todd Herman Show, continue. Come back. Get into the live world of breaking news. This bumper music by request. Somewhere there's my wife out there. She used to love the Iron Maiden when she was young. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Hey, note on the last segment from the text line. Remember the text line's open? Okay. 800-465-8770 is the text line. And from Robert on the text line, thank you for putting your name in. I don't like to use the last four numbers of your phone number to identify you. We talked about the fact that Sideshow Bob, our part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial campaign donations, I don't have a big problem with him telling one Arby's that they can't block employees from another Arby's of trying to get better pay from Arby's A to Arby's B. So I don't think that those stores should be able to collude that way. Just don't. I think collusion is wrong. I also think it's illegal, more importantly. But this is the same Sideshow Bob who allows collusion with the unions. He allows the unions to collude to set rates and pay and lock other people into it by force. The naked hypocrisy is insane. So I was saying we need a new word because it goes beyond hypocrisy with Sideshow Bob in every way. So Robert writes, Todd, if you want a Sideshow Bob-specific term for hypocrisy, use the root word ferg. To ferg, meaning to engage in rank hypocrisy. Drop a ferg on someone. Treating them differently based primarily on their ideology, or to get ferged, to the, be the one upon whom the ferg was dropped. I like that. I could probably get in real trouble for it to say, like, I mean, pinch a ferg, or, you know what I'm saying? I like that. Drop a ferg. You've been ferged. Why don't we get into the national issues? Before I get myself in trouble with the national FCC.
As we speak, the Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
So it's a Strackapalooza, or is it? Interesting timing with the FBI, isn't it? I'm Rod Rosenstein in the DOJ. Let's all settle on something. The Russians, they tried to meddle in the election. I'd be disappointed if they didn't. We tried to meddle in the Israeli elections. I think I find it more disturbing when allies meddle in the election of allies versus opponents, or in the case of Russia, probably at least, or at the very least, a frenemy, probably an enemy. Yeah, they tried to meddle. Now, the timing. Isn't it interesting that the president's going to go have this meeting with Putin, and now this has been brought public? So here's a couple things. Rosenstein wants to block Trump into this corner where he has to go now deal with this information, and he should. The president should go to Putin and say, knock it off, or we'll hack you. Want to get into a hacking war? President can be plenty tough. Go do it. But that's not why. That's not the whole reason for this. Is there another reason that Rod Rosenstein may have wanted to do this?
I am not lying. I have never lied under oath, and I never will. And so the insinuation, not even the insinuation, the direct comment that you somehow say you have an integrity issue is insulting.
So Pete, let's talk about that. You and I just together, Pete Strzok. You testified thusly. You do not remember writing the text message when the woman you were having sex with on the side, when you were cheating on your wife, went with your integrity intact, your integrity standing tall, cheating on your wife. So she said Trump's going to get elected. You said, no, we'll stop it. You said two things. I don't remember writing that. And then you said, oh, I know exactly what that's about. One of those is not true. And this is a short segment. We could get into more of this. And I found this, that since I've lived in the Beltway, since I know how Northern Virginians in large part feel about rural Virginia, I found this just beyond my capacity to even get near believing.
You had texted Ms. Page on that another part of Virginia, Loudoun County, which is, I think, in Northern Virginia, is, quote, still ignorant hillbillies, end quote. Is that what you meant?
No, sir, not at all.
That you consider Trump supporters to be ignorant hillbillies?
Not at all.
What did you mean by that?
Well, sir, the first thing I'd tell you is a proud Fairfax County resident. There's a healthy sort of competition between Fairfax and Loudoun. Second thing I would tell you is that in no way did I or do I believe any resident of Loudoun County or Southern Virginia or anywhere else in the nation are any of those things.
Yeah, you're a liar. You are. You wrote it. So, but you didn't lie. Now, they can't prove that you believe they're hillbillies other than the fact that you wrote that they're hillbillies. But, man, that integrity, standing tall, that hard integrity you have is you're cheating on your wife and such with your integrity. Intact. Standing tall. So, we have the indictments. All of a sudden, the mind is focused now on the indictments. The Sunday show will be on the indictments. We should indict people for trying to hack in our elections and do more. We can do two things at once. Last up on the national news. Hillary. Tom, you found this clip and we were busy before the show and now I'm just reading what it says. I know you well enough to know you'd pick a good Hillary. Listen to this.
I used to worry that they wanted to turn the clock back to the 1950s. Now I worry they want to turn it back to the 1850s.
That's Hillary Clinton speaking about Judge Kavanaugh, saying that the goal here is slavery. At least she did not affect a fake Southern African American accent.
It's really not that hard to find Hillary Clinton quotes. I mean, I'll take the credit, though.
Yeah, well, you'll do, because her operating system there, I don't even know what version Hillary that is. All right, I got a lot more to say about Peter Strzok, and in particular, was this good for America, this hearing we just had? Was it good for America? Michael Medved and I had an interesting conversation about that. I want to share that with you when we come back. Bumper music by request. We got some doozies coming up. You folks are giving this some thought today. Song. I got a song coming up dedicated to producer Tom. One of them dedicated to Peter Strzok. And there's a lot. You guys are giving some thought to this. All right. So I want to get back to this because it really speaks to something that I need you to know how real this is in the East, particularly in Washington, D.C. So CNN... Chris Cuomo, whose brother says he's going to sue the Supreme Court. if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe v. Wade, Andrew Cuomo says he's going to sue. Who? The other Supreme Court's going to rule on that? Because guess what? The Supreme Court can go, nope. No. Already decided. Have a good day. So his brother, Chris... On the Strzok hearings.
The hope is that people will see this and say, we want better. No matter your stripe, right, left, or reasonable, that you make different choices based on what you're saying.
What we saw on Capitol Hill today was nasty. A hearing that erupted into chaos from the very first question. A partisan bare-knuckle brawl. Embattled FBI agent Peter Strzok going head-to-head with House Republicans well into the night, vigorously defending himself against attacks over his anti-Trump texts. Ladies and gentlemen, the Congress of the United States of America.
Yeah, it wasn't over his anti-Trump texts, you clown. It was over whether that guided his decisions in the investigation, and it did. I'm sorry, it did. Want to know some examples of that? Here's some examples of that. You know what was not in the Inspector General report? Why was the FBI unable to obtain emails from Secretary Clinton's first 2 months as Secretary of State? Why was that? Where'd they go? Did the FBI, did they ever get a plausible explanation as were those like wiped with a cloth? That's one example. The FBI and DOJ were denied access to emails sent or received just before she took office. Why? Anyone say why? And I could go through 45 of these, such as, did Hillary Clinton remember signing an agreement to not do what she did? So it clearly affected his thinking and his actions. Has nothing to do with the anti-Trump text messages. That's one part of the equation. That's motive. Now we're getting into activities. What did you do with your opportunity? Michael Medved and I were talking before as we were transitioning into the studio. And Michael asked, is this good for America? No. The hearing's not good for America. It's a must-have, in my judgment. It's something we must see, in my judgment. It's something that must be displayed, in my judgment. But it's very much revealing something that I need you to know about Washington, D.C. And I know folks sense it. But this the statement Strzok made starts with his great, vast integrity.
I am not lying. I have never lied under oath, and I never will. And so the insinuation, not even the insinuation, the direct comment that you somehow say you have an integrity issue is insulting. I take offense.
Okay, so I've already addressed the lies, a couple of them, that he told while he was testifying. He's going to be brought back, apparently charged with contempt. Good for the country? No. Helping unite us? No. Necessary? I think so. And Strzok knows that Rod Rosenstein has his back. Rosenstein, reasonable enough on indicting the Russian hackers. It's his job. He should also be cleaning this up. Here's the piece I want you to know where I know Strzok is lying because I've lived back there.
You had texted Ms. Page on that another part of Virginia, Loudoun County, which is, I think, in northern Virginia, is, quote, still ignorant hillbillies, end quote. Is that what you meant?
No, sir, not at all.
That you consider Trump supporters to be ignorant hillbillies?
Not at all.
What did you mean by that?
Well, sir, the first thing I'd tell you is a proud Fairfax County resident, there's a healthy sort of competition between Fairfax and Loudoun. Second thing I would tell you is that in no way did I or do I believe any resident of Loudoun County or southern Virginia or anywhere else in the nation are any of those things. That was a flippant text.
Flippant. All right, let me tell you my observation of living in D.C. Everything he said there, everything he said, rings true. Not that he doesn't believe that he does. I can tell you because I sat in the offices and I heard people describe the fact that, oh, it's summer again. We're going to smell the tourists. Now, look, people sweat in D.C. They do come in with body odor. You can't avoid it. You're spending the day walking around the Capitol, in the mall, etc. Yeah, you're going to sweat and you're going to stink. But it carried this attitude because, what, you don't stink? And I know that seems small in comparison to the country's problems, but it goes to something that is vital and true, and you must know it. I've talked about this in the program before. There is Washington, D.C. morality, and then there's our morality. There's the rules in D.C., and then there's the rules in the country. Now, I know you know that they live under a different set of laws, and back there, then, there's a subset of those. There's the different set of laws for D.C. versus us. They don't follow the law. They don't get in trouble. We don't follow the law. We go to jail. But then there's that subset. Democrats get a bigger pass than Republicans because Democrats control the bureaucratic apparatus. So you have that. But the biggest difference is the morality. They live with a separate perception of the world. So when Strzok goes on this lengthy soliloquy about his patriotism.
The time of the gentleman has expired. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Gosar, for 5 minutes.
Mr. Strzok, are you familiar with the FBI domestic investigation?
Oh! Everybody, young Tom has just admitted to me that he had a busy day, forgot to switch out this clip. You heard Strzok say, my anger is in direct response to people turning my patriotism upside down. Now, He believes this. He believes this because you stink, because you are hillbillies. He believes the patriotism is him, one of the great men, saving you, one of the stupid people, from yourself. And it was consistent when I saw the Tea Party come to town. I was there for the Tea Party. And I went into the Republican offices. And I talked to the folks about what I saw. Hey, people want to audit the Fed. I know, isn't it crazy? How could they possibly want to audit the Fed? Well, because they'd like to know what it's doing. But that's our nation's banking system. We need to trust it. No, we don't. We audit everything else. So when Strzok says he's a great patriot, and Strzok says you're turning my patriotism upside down, no, we're not. We're exposing it to the light of reality. We're exposing the fact that to you, your patriotism means these stinking, sweating, upside down, dumb, blank hillbillies in Southern Virginia are just like every other stinking, upside down, unthinking, uncouth, unwashed, toothless idiot who could ever, ever make the decision that they can't stomach Hillary Clinton, so they'll vote for Donald Trump, or God forbid that they love what Trump's saying. In his mind. God forbid. He believes that. And if you'd like some data behind that, read this book called What DC Gets Wrong. I've had the author on. Washington, D.C. believes you are losers. The bureaucrats. They think you have less money than you do, by a long shot. They think fewer of you have been to college than you have, by a long shot. They think there's some four or five times more gay Americans than there are. They have no clue. They think that you don't understand word one about the way the government works. You do. They have a greater misunderstanding of who we are than any of us do of who they are. So what you see in Strzok, this look, this disdain, this anger, you've seen that meme that's making its way around, that almost demonic looking meme. Here's what he's thinking, in my judgment. You hypocrites. You know we have to stop these stinking, toothless hypocrites. Toothless hillbillies. How dare you call me out for doing what we're all doing? All of us are back here saving the country from these buffoons who don't live in houses. These buffoons who don't understand that 50% of the country is made up of gay Americans. 50%. These buffoons who've never been to college. These buffoons who don't know how to save for retirement. So when he speaks of Virginia, Southern Virginia, it's metaphoric for the rest of us. That's why he's mad. My God, if I don't choose the president, they'll make the wrong decision. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and get into just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a patent-pending audio feng shui mode. Strzok. Yeah, get it? Peter Strzok. This comes from JJ and Burian. It's bumper music by request on the Todd Herman Show. Now, if Billy Squire will kindly quiet down, we'll roll into
just a few more things.
Thanks very much. We take news-like items. We put them out into an audio feng shui mode, pleasing to the ear, patent pending. Then we number them, because how could it be pleasing to the ear and an audio feng shui were it not numbered?
Thing one.
I got to admit, this freaks me out. There are certain things I see that make me, like, phobic. This is one of them. The world's longest fingernails being cut after 66 years.
And when I had my nails, I took very special care of them because they're a very delicate part of our body. I took care of them for a lifetime. I spent 66 years of my life on my nails. It was a very difficult decision for me to cut my nails.
And you're not evil anymore. You were evil. I don't know you. I have no proof of that. But nails were this length of your body and curvy, and they get like vein-looking things in them. But no one can disagree with me that those things are flat wrong, right? Nah, I guess I'm being judgy. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
There was a day when this guy was kind of funny, this Sasha Baron Cohen dude. He went, got Andy Rooney to talk to him on video. Remember this?
Yo, check it. I is here with none other than my main man, Andy Rooney. Total respect. And today we is chatting about the media. The media is well important, isn't it?
And Andy Rooney couldn't stand it. Started correcting the guy's grammar and shifted in his seat. You'd expect that from Andy Rooney. Can you speak properly? But that was then, and now he's not funny anymore. But the ABC people, ABC News, can't admit that. So this guy, Sasha Baron Cohen.
Thing three.
He's in thing three. He decided, you know what would be funny? Is I'll pretend like I'm a disabled vet, unable to move and depressed and hurting, post-traumatic stress, and I'll reach out to Sarah Palin, because that's some funny, funny stuff. Except it's not. ABC News, though. Did he cross the line, ABC News?
Impersonating a disabled veteran. Mm-hmm. Is that not crossing the line?
We have to see what it looks like and see what exactly takes place in the show. I personally don't find his theater of humiliation very funny. But kind of installing rules on what this is, certainly before we've seen it, seems a bit hasty.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're not okay impersonating a vet. Okay? I mean, acting in a movie as a vet, that's different. Impersonating one, nope. It won't be funny. It can't be funny. Particularly a disabled vet, how dare you? Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
So the hearings. The Republicans, they were all the weird ones, right? The Strzok hearings. Isn't that what we're told by the mainstream media? Peter Strzok offered a soaring defense. Republicans may have thought they had an easy target with FBI executive Peter Strzok, but they found out differently in hearings on Capitol Hill. Strzok struck back as Congress attempted to nail him to the wall on his anti-Trump messages. Yeah. Wasn't the messages. It was, did he twist an investigation?
Balance compels me to ask you about my hero, Bruce Springsteen. Unlike the others who are all Republicans, Springsteen's a Democrat. And he said, the Republic is under siege by a moron. Did you tell him to say that?
No.
Was it part of a deep state conspiracy to criticize the president?
No.
But it's the Republicans wasting time. Last up, and just a few more things.
Thing five.
So a three-year-old boy gets the thrill of a lifetime. He gets to go sing the national anthem. If you appreciate perfect tone, just remember he's three. As young producer Tom pointed out, it's a little pitchy. It's really cute. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Pramila PayPal! What's she up to? I'll tell you next.